Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on Just Ball Things. The NBA Finals are upon us and it's Cavs Warriors 4. We'll be discussing whether it would have been a better series if the Celtics or Rockets had made it. Slanderous Colangelo tweets or Ben Simmons dating Kendall Jenner. We'll be discussing which of these two 76ers omens is worse. And will LeBron defeating these Warriors be his greatest achievement to date? So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to Just Ball Things. With me today from the sunny London, England, back to this, mate, we have the J-Man. Jack Manuel, how are you?
It's different not being in the same room as you, Nicholas, nor as intimate. I don't like that lack of intimacy.
I can't look at you in the balls. No, I don't do that. But sometimes, sometimes.
That escalated very quickly.
It's that close. My name is Nick Busink, and my phone, mate, has died. Rest in peace.
Didn't you just the other day get it... Take it to the Samsung store?
Well, here we go.
Go.
Story time. All right.
Short synopsis.
So, went to a dingy little shop. My mistake. Got it fixed. Got the battery replaced. And then in the process, they broke my screen. So, I got the screen replaced for free. So I didn't pay for it. I'm like, beautiful.
Okay, good.
A week later, my screen turns off. It's kaput. It turns out there were cracks on the inside of the LCD, and the guy's like, you've clearly dropped this. I'm like, well, no, I haven't. And considering I had the previous screen on there for 3 years without any problems, I'd be willing to say that the build quality of your screen is shithouse.
Oh,
he disagreed. So I didn't get the screen fixed, and he's just like, it'll cost you $200 to get the screen fixed. I'm like, screw that. So, I am in the process of getting a new phone and a new plan, getting the S9 Plus, probably. So, I'm pretty excited. I'm a big Samsung guy, but I'm using an iPhone at the moment, and it's weird.
Nick, I hope you give him an incredibly negative review on Yelp and Google reviews and Google Maps and such.
Complaints, unfair. Complaints have been made.
Right.
Complaints have been made. It's like... I played basketball and I was training, and there's like a lot of balls everywhere. And there's like this kids running around. So maybe a ball hit it, because I didn't notice some cracks on the screen. But
yeah,
again, I had it for 3 years and nothing. And then a week after it gets replaced, which wasn't even my fault, it got replaced by you. Oh,
yeah,
people, man, they suck. Let's talk about some less depressing news. Oh, well, I guess the first piece of
for
news is a little bit depressing.
Sixers fan.
But basketball is not so depressing. Our first bit of news here, mate. Ben Simmons doing sexy Ben Simmons stuff. He is dating he's dating Kendall Jenner. However, the Kardashian curse is ever present in the NBA. It is a real thing. Bleacher Report came out with an article discussing the potential stat drops and impact that this could happen to Ben's career. Anyway, they're dating, and mate, is this the worst omen for the Sixers? Is it a worse omen for the Sixers than Colangelo's reported like Twitter burn in her account? So we'll get into that as well.
I'm gonna go Twitter fact for this one, Nicholas, because you mentioned the Kardashian curse. James Harden, Tristan Thompson, Chris Humphries, Lamar Odom, they've all suffered it. It's real. There are real ramifications.
Did you say Blake in there as well?
I forgot Blake. Yeah, Blake was the most recent one.
Yep.
They were both at Coachella, and they were both like actively trying to avoid each other. Celebrities, Nicholas. They're just like us. but the thing with Ben Simmons, I think I like it strategically because he can have a nice little 3 month fling with her, or a couple of months actually, because you know October's generally when
right after the season.
Up.
Yeah, timing's right. Timing is key.
Have a bit of time with Kendall, you know, hit up some of the fashion events, hit up some of the festivals, you know, get into Page Six, the TMZs. And then once the season kicks off, you know, LeBron heads to Philly. He's like, mate, you gotta dump that girl. I saw it happen at Tristan. All right, it's over now. And, you know, all this hunky-dory. You know, give him a couple of months, and then if he's still dating her in the regular season, that's when we need to worry about the curse.
But is it... I mean, I feel like all this client, like, as soon as they started dating, the next day, Jack, Brian Colangelo yeah. has come out with all these burner tweets. Do you want to take through the people what has happened?
Yes,
I guess.
Okay, so the ringer.com did a highly in-depth piece on Brian Colangelo having rumored Twitter burner accounts that were insulting players, revealing news about players, insider information, talking Brian Colangelo up. His collar choice of shirts seemed to be one of the highly suggestible topics. I don't know why. And it was shocking to say the least. And for those who haven't read it, make sure you check out theringer.com. It was an absolutely awesome piece. And there's been some new news that came out overnight, my time. Checking the Bleacher Report notification, work up to it. Has the mystery been solved? Apparently, Barbara Nicholas. Barbara. Oh,
Babs. Come on, Babs.
Babs. Classic Babs. Is the wife of Brian Colangelo. Is apparently the owner of three of the accounts, according to you know the verification process. Her number ends in 91. The amount of sleuthing done on Twitter. I love the website. Like, Twitter is my life now. I love it so freaking much. But in that sense, I think Colangelo still does deserve a huge bunch of the blame because if he's telling his wife this information, she's leaking it to, you know, the press, so to speak, because, you know, she's commenting on, you know, verified Twitter accounts that have, you know, information like, you know, the Liberty Baller sense, you know, SB Nation sort of accounts, fan-sided accounts, and even some like, you know, even more accredited reporters like ESPN and such. So this Brian Colangelo thing, I wonder when it will be solved. And if it is, I think Colangelo needs to, you know, if not fired, receive some sort of reprimand because it's not a good look for him or the organization, especially the fact that he was having a go at Joel Embiid at the same time. You know, Joel Embiid, Jahlil Okafor, Markel Fultz, these were all some, and Nerlens Noel, these were all recipients of, you know, criticism from these accounts, whether it was Babs or that it was Brian. Both of them were B. That's an interesting thing.
Babs and Brian.
Babs and Brian. It's a, you know, see that on the wedding invitation, Babs and Brian. Come and join Babs and Brian for a Twitter burner account wedding for the ages.
Oh, yeah, lovely. You know what'll happen, mate? Ben Simmons and Kendall will break up and it'll be like, oh my God, my mistake, guys. Twitter will go like, oh my God, like massive mistake. Egg on my face. It was actually Ryan Colangelo, you know. And then the whole thing will be averted and all will be well in the universe. The cosmos will become back in balance.
The memes were one of my favorite things. I think I sent it to you where it's like, obviously because it's always sunny in Philadelphia. And the one that's like, the gang makes a burner account. And for those who haven't been on, you know, at the J-Man JVT, at JVT Nick, we're posted some of them. It's been a fun few days on Twitter. But
NBA Twitter,
Nick, give
it
to me.
Just,
do you think
NBA Twitter is great?
It's the best.
It's brilliant.
It's the best, but what were your thoughts and musings on this Colangelo situation before we move on, Nicky boy?
I mean, what was really sort of initially, I didn't really believe it. Upon reading more, there were rumblings that Woj and a lot of other connected reporters knew of this unrest between upper management and the players, and things like what were tweeted out were said. Whether Colangelo has said it, whether Colangelo has done it or not is irrelevant. It's not attractive for free agents, even if he didn't do it.
Yeah,
because it's been done. The damage has been done. There's no repairing that. Yeah. I mean, when you're a new organization trying to sort of get on the get in front of things in the East, and then you go and date Kendall Jenner. Come on, Jack. Let's stay woke here, mate.
Nick, the Daily Mail is reporting breaking news. I don't know how breaking it is. It might have happened hours ago. that Tinashe's brother came to Twitter. Never met you before in my life. Days after you break my sis heart, you do this. People all lied on her, talking fake news about my sis doing Kardashian shit. You cheat on her with a Jenner. Wow. Ben Simmons, breaking news, cheated on Tinashe with Kendall Jenner Nicholas.
Bang.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Bang.
Give me a wow, Nicholas.
I'll give you a wow.
Wow.
There you go. It was.
I can't hear it anymore. Yeah, it's quite sad.
I'll chuck in an air horn for you as well. There you go.
Oh, I heard that one a little bit. Yeah, that sounds
really
loud.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm giving this one a Twitter. Same as you. Same reasoning.
Yep.
But yeah, it watch this space. It's definitely a watch this space sort of thing.
Well, with Blake Griffin, harking back to him, Blake Griffin apparently broke up with his long-term girlfriend, baby mama, to date Kendall Jenner. And obviously, it seems like maybe the same thing might have happened with Tinashe. Now, Ben Simmons is 21, and he is a millionaire and one of the stars of the NBA. And he is turning himself into quite the playboy. So, Ben Simmons, you know, you're keeping rookie. Hopefully, you get that rookie of the year. You should. But don't give any ammunition to the haters out there by dating a... one of the KKK, however many K's there are.
Exactly.
Plus,
Caitlin. Does that start with a K? I feel like it would.
There's Kendall. Oh, yeah, Caitlin C, I think.
Oh, she ruined it.
Yeah, but I guess she's, KKKC, yeah, whatever. Still on Philly,
and
Nicholas,
she had the opportunity to name herself as well. Like, that's a missed opportunity right there. Anyway, continue.
Yes. I shall. We've turned to the Kardashian podcast. I apologize. We need to advertise this to like PMZ. I feel like they might give us some free
give
advertising.
Give us some love,
yeah. Still on Philly. Brett Brown is deserving of his 3-year contract extension, Nicholas.
Lock it
you're
in,
a
mate.
Big fan.
Hashtag fact. I had him for coach of the year.
Yes.
He's not going to win it because just Casey. Casey's won all the other coach of the year, so I'm just waiting for him to win actual coach of the year, and then Toronto Raptors to be like, "Good job, man! You don't have a job."
They already did that on Twitter.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
for
the coaches, coach of the year. Exactly. So they're not above that. But yeah, sign him up. I mean, he's stuck through this this organization
process.
Through thin and sorry, through thick. What's the bad
thick
one in
and
thick?
Thin.
Yeah, but what's the bad one in thick and thin? Because one implies
I feel like
good.
Thick because you're stuck in it. You're stuck in the thickness of it, and then it sort
but
of like spreads out.
Thin is
then.
Like it. Yeah,
thin
through
is
the thick of it. Thick
right.
of it. Through the thick of it is, mate. Thick with two C's is attractive.
Oh, true that.
That's
true
that's
that. I love me
indeed. Anyway,
I love me some thick.
Yeah, through the good and the bad. Beauty. Through the good and the bad, I think that's a bit more black and white. Through the black and the white. That's borderline racist. I'm sorry.
what are we doing?
I don't know. Yes, sign him up. 3-year contract extension. Give him the good years of the Sixers. He's been through the bad. Give him the good years. Please.
Yeah.
50. This team won 50 with 50 plus wins, mate. Sign him up.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a huge jump. Brett Brown is deserving of a lot of that credit. Mm. I know a lot of fans after the Celtics series. We're jumping on his back a little bit in terms of his rotation and some of his questionable moves in terms of his set plays. I think that's one thing that he's going to just grow with. He's still a very young coach in the NBA. He's had plenty of experience, but, you know, coaches make mistakes. And a lot of the time, I think you mentioned the fact that, you know, obviously those thick and thin days, as they were saying, were very dark periods for Philadelphia sports. And the fact that he's being rewarded to actually see this to fruition, and possibly in the next 3 years they could be challenging for a championship. Is well deserving for him because not many coaches get to sort of see that happen. You know, you look at what happens in Phoenix, you look at what happens in Sacramento, even in Brooklyn. You know, the coaches, unless you've got the right person there to sort of establish the culture, and I feel like Brett Brown really did establish a culture there. even during those losing days, you know, TJ McConnell, Robert Covington coming through that, you know, all this, it's something that he is well deserved, and we may be biased through Brett Brown with his Aussie connections, but he also made the move. He was the one who sort of indicated that he wanted Ben Simmons to play at the point. So I feel like there's certainly room for improvement with Brett Brown. I wonder if his GM's going to still be there in the coming years. That's going to be a fun little tidbit. Mm-hmm. But Brett Brown, for me, is the been a big key to their success on and off court.
Well said, mate. Well said. Yep, he definitely deserves.
Nicholas, quick little tidbit, though. The Orlando Magic, and I posted this on Twitter. I'm like, you know, the finals are happening in a day. The Orlando Magic have hired a coach, yet all we're caring about is burner accounts. I love NBA so much. But the Orlando Magic have hired former Charlotte Hornets coach Steve Clifford as a coach on a four-year deal. No Twitter, no Music Manuel for it, Nicholas, but your thoughts on seeing Steve Clifford getting a new job out in Orlando?
Yeah, I mean, it's just... It just screams sort of, I don't know, mediocrity. Like, what can Steve Clifford achieve that Frank Vogel could not?
Yeah, that's fair.
Like,
that's fair.
I feel like it's just going to be another Orlando team.
It certainly does paper... Clifford has a great reputation across the league with the media. He is a great coach. The Hornets weren't terrible this year. They had some injuries, but they certainly did underachieve in that sense. Clifford is an established coach, but I don't think he can bring this sort of young up-and-coming team in Orlando, you know, get the most out of guys like Aaron Gordon, Jonathan Isaac, and whoever they pick up in this year's draft, and sort of turn them into superstars. I like the route of like other teams, you know, the Nets, the Hawks, the Phoenix, what they're doing. Going with a young, untried coach and seeing if they can build something from there. I think, you know, obviously Steve Clifford had a great relationship with Kemba Walker. Mm. Dwight Howard's season last year was very underrated and he had a good relationship with Steve Clifford. I like the signing in the sense of, you know, it gives you some stability in a sense. But I'm hoping he can see that contract out. And, you know, he is a little bit older as well. The sort of young and tried, untried coaches has been in vogue with a lot of these young teams. But I guess Orlando are bucking that trend. And you make the good point of, like, you know, Frank Vogel, he's a known and established coach with the Indiana Pacers and now lost himself a job. You know, Hornacek as well. Hmm. These sort of coaches that have, you know, built a reputation and go to the wrong organization. I just hope the organizational fit is good for both. Because, you know, or I mean, it's better when we see...
Keep going, sorry.
It's better when we see a competitive outfit from Orlando and across the league. You know, they started the season so well. We were mentioning them in playoff talk in our early season two episodes. But, hopefully this works out well for both parties.
I mean, Aaron Gordon's showed flashes, so maybe Clifford can sort of maybe keep some consistency in his game. Yeah. He was at the Magic before, so that's why, I say, like, what could he achieve that Frank Vogel and previous coaches before him didn't? I mean, those few years he had as the Magic assistant, I think he was, I mean, that it could have, it can solidify that fit because he knows the organization. He may not have to adapt as much, you know, and it may be in line with, you know, their thinking, and that's one of the most important things.
Absolutely. I mean, the GM coach relationship, I think they've sort of, you know, rebuilt that in the past year or two. So you know, the Detroit, just quickly a little tidbit, Detroit apparently interviewing Kenny Smith, and there's rumors that he may get the coaching job. I would absolutely laugh out loud if Kenny Smith gets a job before Frank Vogel and Dwayne Casey. but it is Detroit, and they make questionable decisions.
You never know.
So, but to some more successful organizations, Nick, let's get on to some finals talk.
Yep.
We obviously know what happens. We're not going to do too much on what happens in the Game 7s, but the finals would have been better, Nicholas, if the Celtics or Rockets or both had have made it.
First of all, before we preface this,
yes,
great Game 7s, kind of, from... Rockets was a great series.
Competitive.
And then, Cavs game, I don't know whether I'm biased or it was legitimately a good game, but That was great. The only good game of the series, but it delivered.
Pretty much. But it did go seven. It did go seven.
Yeah, yeah.
First time in nearly 40 years that, yeah.
Exactly, and it's a refreshing change from the sweep that were both conferences, more or less. I think Cleveland lost one or two in Boston. It was, I don't remember.
One, I think, last year.
Yeah, it might have been one. Nonetheless, this has been a fantastic season, and the finals have been, so far, so good. Some upsets, even the sweeps were entertaining. Like, I found the Pelican sweep of the Blazers just brilliant. Seeing Drew Holiday like that, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not about that.
The playoffs have been great.
The finals would have been better with Celtics-Rockets? I don't think so.
Why?
I would have loved to have seen Rockets go through, only because I want to see the Warriors dismantled at any stage. And LeBron, it gives him a greater chance of reaching the finals, but it's more, I don't want Warriors to win another one. Three and 4 years. It's not hate. I love watching them play, but I want other people to have a go. You know.
Yeah. Look, I mentioned,
and by other people I mean other person.
Wizards.
Mate, I would back LeBron over the Wizards. That's how crap I am. I feel dirty.
Yes, you should. You are a dirty boy. But the Celtics and Rockets, you know, they had great series. Celtics, Warriors, people were advocating for because, you know, the Brad Stevens led, and, you know, they're tough, they're gritty, whereas the Cavs can be very flaky. They're a bit of a bipolar NBA team. They're up and down at the best of times.
I don't find the Celtics enjoyable to watch. Like, the Cavs can be trying at times, but when they're on, oh, man, they are.
They've got LeBron. Yeah.
They are enjoyable. LeBron is enjoyable.
Tatum's been awesome. I feel like Tatum deserves... He's been one of the more enjoyable parts. Yeah, Al Horford's been fun across the other series, but, you know, Tristan Thompson did a great job on him in the Cavs series. But, you know, the Rockets I would have enjoyed as well because, you know, it would have been finally they to get, you know, James Harden gets that monkey off his back to an extent. Chris Paul deserves it more than anyone in the league. I mean, apparently he's already calling up LeBron for him to come to Houston. And obviously, Rockets, Cavs would have been fun. But I said on the NBA outlet when we did the finals preview episode, make sure you subscribe to that and this on iTunes, that it doesn't seem as fun, seeing the Warriors get there every single year, partly because the way that they've done it. You know, that 73-win team, that 2015 team, the joy in the game that they're playing, and in the way they were playing basketball, and the, you know, in air quotes, in the respect that they had for the game, you know, they were going out there hard every night. Whereas now it's just like, and I mentioned a stat on the outlet as well, they've been +130 and plus minus in third quarters. They've played one quarter basically across these playoffs, and for me, they are that good. They can do it, but it's not as enjoyable to watch. You know, Kevin Durant ISO for three quarters. Draymond Green makes some, you know, silly mistakes and throws some turnovers, and then just see, you know, 8 minutes of great basketball. It's fun for those 8 minutes, but it's not as enjoyable, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, I just go to it like you want to see the best player in the world take on the best team in the world, and it's the heavyweight match. You don't get two average boxers and be like, this is the main event. No, you want the best team versus the best player. And unfortunately, that's how it is in the East. Obviously, you want the two best teams against each other, but this is the best team in the East versus the best team in the West, and this has been coming a long time. It doesn't matter whether we've predicted it at the start, which we did. The road has been completely different. The teams don't seem as invincible, especially the Cavs. Warriors have shown deficiencies in their game. But, you know, we say, like, would it be better? And a lot of people would be saying, hell yeah, Cavs Warriors 4 wouldn't be better. But you tell me that if Cavs win the finals, you tell me what's more entertaining. You tell me what would have been better. I mean, if the if the Rockets roll over, then... Yeah.
Yeah. And shout outs to your sister or your mum.
What a bum.
I'll move on to one that you sort of gave a little bit of a hint at, Nicholas. If the Cavs win, it'd be a greater achievement for LeBron than coming back from a 3-1 deficit in 2016. Hashtag say woke.
I mean, he may have to come back from a 3-1 deficit in this series. So
hashtag stay woke.
Stay woke. If he leads, if he comes out, wins game one, they split it, split in Golden State, and just say they split again, 2-2, and then he wins in seven. Is it greater than 3-1? Everyone can.
It's hard.
That is. That may be one of the toughest questions I've ever faced.
I'm gonna go. I'll let you have a bit of a think, and I'll spiel a little bit, see if my views sway you either way. I think it personally would be because the team that he went back with 3-1 had Kyrie Irving at his elite best, had Kevin Love at chipping in here and there. Tristan Thompson was an absolute force on both ends of the floor. J.R. Smith still knew how to shoot, and the 3-1 deficit. They felt confident in that sense. You know, it has never been done in the history of the playoffs, and it's one of the most historic feats we've ever seen in the history of basketball. And we're going to be talking about it for as long as we're doing JBT and for as long as we can live. I personally think with LeBron right now, what he's been able to do, people are comparing, and I think this was done in the outlet as well. Make sure you check it out. We compared Nick. Nick Faye put it to me and Corey, is LeBron bringing the Cavs to the finals one of his greatest feats? And I don't believe that because, you know, LeBron does that in his sleep. He's done it 8 years in a row. But to be able to be such a heavy underdog, I don't think there's probably a bigger underdog in the history of the finals, maybe, or at least in the last decade or so. Like, LeBron in seven of his eight finals has been an underdog. Which is astounding to say. But obviously a lot of people don't really look at the nuanced takes when it comes to LeBron. They only see the 3-6. But I think it would be his biggest achievement ever because of the mountain that he would have to climb and the fact that he would have to climb it alone. You know, he wouldn't have Kyrie holding the harness down the bottom. He'd be, you know, strapping it on himself, putting it onto a rock, and going, all right, let's do this. Let's see what I can do. He's going to need some lights out performances from maybe a guy like a Jeff Green, like in game seven, Tristan Thompson on the offensive boards. Kevin Love may have to, you know, actually get his hand and his head right in terms of his concussion in one of the games. But for me, this would be absolutely historic in a different sense for me. That's why I'm giving this probably a wiki, because I think it would be absolutely huge.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be close. It would be up there, but this sort of carries on with that. Even if Cleveland lose, which is projected to happen, hopefully it doesn't. Obviously, I'm supporting Cleveland in this battle.
Yes,
but
sir.
Even if Cleveland loses, LeBron James is the most deserving winner of Finals MVP. Now, this is hard because that final series takes a lot. Like, it's like, forget about the rest of what's happened. It's all about that final series, and that's what it tends to happen. It tends to be that final series. Note this: that the losing player, the losing team, generally, and I'm willing to say, never gets the finals MV, gets the finals MVP. This has happened once in the NBA. It's happened a few more times in other codes of sport. A few notable ones, the AFL sport. There has been some best on grounds given to the losing team player. And rightfully so. It shouldn't be dictated by whether your team wins. I mean, NBA loved the fact, like, MVP for ages was decided by wins, and it shouldn't be. I completely agree with that. So, What I'll pose this a different way. What does LeBron have to do to win Finals MVP on a loss?
Yeah. Well, Nick, give us you came up with a really awesome stat, and the stats man is back. Give it to us about
the one player.
The one player.
The
Who is
one,
that one
player in the NBA that has done this is Jerry West, and it has not happened since the 1969 Finals. When he was part of the Lakers, exactly. When he was part of that Lakers team, he lost to the Celtics. And he scored 42, 13 rebounds, and 12 assists in Game 7 and averaged 38 points over the series. So is that what he has to do? It has to at least go to a Game 7.
It does. And I think I mentioned to you off wax that I think LeBron deserved it in 2015 as well. And, you know, you could argue that even last year, despite the fact that they were, you know, had that gentleman sweep, that LeBron was still better than KD. I think LeBron James right now is the most deserved winner of the Finals MVP. He's been the best player across the entire playoffs. Like you mentioned, it's basically purely based off what happens in this series. Can LeBron drag it to... If he can drag it to six, I think he's got a somewhat of a chance, because it'll basically be that he's had two upset wins against one of the greatest teams of all time. On the Warriors side, Corey mentioned that he thinks Steph Curry will win his first ever Finals MVP. You can almost toss a coin. Whoever has the best series out of Klay, KD, even Draymond... of the big four and Katie and Steph, will win the Finals MVP. I don't know who it'll be. I'm hoping it's LeBron, because LeBron deserves every single award that he can get. You know, he's probably the rightful MVP and has been the rightful MVP in every season in the past decade. But I think he's the most... It's going to be... We can't really say the most deserved winner of the Finals MVP because we haven't seen the finals yet. Maybe we revisit this after the finals in a coming episode.
Even in a few games, I mean, if he's averaging 35, like I'm putting the line at 34.5.
34.
So,
but if he gets a 34-point triple-double, which he certainly can, I think he's...
30. It's all dependent on the assist and rebound. But even if it's like 39-9, I don't think that's enough.
Well, it depends. It depends on how he does it. Like, you know,
because you've got to think if it goes to, if he's 39-9, and Durant is 28, Steph is 25, and Clay's, you know, even 18, like, and they get the win. Like, he's not. Better, he's not good. He's not better enough. My English is awful. He's not transcendent. He's not. He needs to be.
Yes.
He needs to demolish stats to get this.
Yes.
Finals MVP. So that's why I'm. That's why I'm thinking 34, 35.
Right now, Nicholas, I'll give it to you. I'm on B-ball reference. He is averaging 34 points.
There it is.
9.2 rebounds and 8.8 assists with 1.4 steals and 1.1 blocks. Those numbers are pretty bloody good.
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, he could if they end up winning the series, then he will be averaging over 10 assists, because it means that he's gotten some production off his other players. So if he wins the series going 34, say 9 and 11, that is juicy.
I think a couple of nice blocks, some steals in there as well. But Nicholas, on the other side, let's chat a little bit about the Warriors. So this was, I'm not sure if you listened to the crossover podcast, the Sports Illustrated one. This is via Andrew Sharp. If the Warriors win the championship, Steve Kerr will retire as coach of the team. What do you think?
I don't think so. This team still has so many more good years. Like, he can win another 3, maybe 4 championships. Like, it could. It could. This team is just amazing, and he's getting good production out of young guys as well, like Jordan Bell. Cash considerations.
Cash
consider.
he knows. Give me a money thing.
Yeah, already did, mate. You're Adelaide, mate. You're further than Adelaide. You're England. Bang.
I'm 17,000 k's away.
Exactly. No, he doesn't leave. I mean, you'd be silly not to. I mean, what better team is there in the league?
Yeah, I mean,
if anything, he'd be enjoying his retirement.
Yeah, I'll play devil's advocate here in the sense that what Mr. Sharp, a known Wizards fan, mind you, Nicholas, as well, said on the pod was, you know, Steve Kerr hasn't been able to get as much out of these Warriors. You know, in terms of a coach, you want to get the best out of your players. And he's been trying all these different things, and he hasn't been able to get the best out of them this year, you know, namely Kevin Durant especially. And that's one thing as a coach that you always want to be doing. Is a fresh face going to do that? Steve Kerr's back problems, you know, we obviously haven't heard as much about them, but I'm going to hazard a guess that there's still an issue. Back issues are lingering for any person, let alone a person in his 40s or 50s. So I think, and I think Steve Kerr as well, would love the life as an analyst. He was one of the best NBA analysts going around, and the world needs more, you know, Steve Kerr's and Mark Jackson's, that's for sure. So I feel like it would certainly suit his lifestyle a little bit more. It might, you know, enhance his stress levels a little bit, you know, sort of cause him to chill out a little bit. So I certainly think that there's a chance, and I don't think people should be, you know, or shock and awed if the fact that it does happen. But I think it's more likely to happen if the Warriors were to win a championship. So if they win it this year, I think it's more likely. If they don't win it, I think that's going to burn in Steve Kerr's chest and go, you know, I can't go out like this. I don't see him necessarily as a career coach. You know, I don't obviously know him as well as I'd like to. He's one of my absolute idols in terms of, you know, just coaching and general life view. And I think, you know, he may not be have that sort of Popovich mentality where he's going to coach for decades on decades. You know, he might have a little stint here and there and just, you know, do whatever fulfills him the most personally. And I feel like, you know, right now, it's certainly been a challenging year for the team. And I think that's reflective on him as well. So, yeah, I'll probably give this, you know, barely a Twitter fact because I can't see it happening. But, you know, like the chances of shooting 7 from 34 from the field, 7 from 44 from the field, there is certainly a chance, albeit 1 in 72,000.
Yeah, I mean, I did the number crunch on myself on that myself, and I got 0.0001% chance of that happening. So they're breaking all the records, Houston.
I like those odds.
Yeah, I'm giving this one an alternative fact. He's got. Like, why jump off the train? Like, now? Why? Like, I accept the fact of the stress levels and all that, and the physical pain he's going through, not only, like, his mental as well. But he can achieve so much. And if this were me, it'd be like this vision in mind. It's like, look at what I can achieve with this team. And so that's more or less my take on it.
But maybe Steve Kerr doesn't think that way in the sense that, you know, he doesn't need...
True, yeah. I mean, he doesn't need validation. And, I mean, everyone, he definitely doesn't need to prove himself.
Absolutely. I mean, he's done it with the Bulls. He's done it with the Spurs. He's done it, you know, with this Warriors team. He's, you know, taken them to... But from being a great team to being a historically great team. And obviously, you know, we'll find out about that this year and maybe next year if he's still kicking on. But Nicholas, speaking of possibilities of leaving and such, there's a possibility that Kevin Durant won't be in a Golden State uniform following this postseason.
Hashtag alternative facts. It's not happening, mate. What? You're reading way too much into that tweet. The tweet, may I just add, is Kevin Durant on whether Rockets are close to catching the Warriors. Quote, anything could happen over the summer for both sides. Mate.
Both sides, Nicholas. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What does it benefit his career to leave to leave Golden State? Like, it was a massive improvement. Like, he gave his heart and soul to OKC and was just like, year after year after year, we're not going anywhere. If he leaves now, then that's a bit of a, like, what are you doing? I had no problem with him leaving OKC. But if he leaves Golden State, like, what are you doing? The greatest team of the past 5 years.
It's interesting, Nick. And a little tidbit on Kevin Durant in the media availability earlier today. He was speaking shit. He said a lot of... There's weird rumblings happening in this locker room, I think. I'd love to be a fly on the wall, but he was asked about, like, you know, and he said something along the lines of, you know, not many people knew me before the Golden State Warriors. And I'm just like, Dude, you want an MVP with OKC? Like, what do you want about? Like, I just don't understand what goes through his head. Like, you can't stop trying to play the underdog. You're not an underdog. Like, you are the second best player in the universe.
Hmm.
You are one of the most talented scorers of all time. You're on the best team, like Nick said, for the past half decade, at least, if not one of the best teams in the history of this league. I don't understand why he keeps trying to play this underdog mentality when, you know, learn to embrace that villain a little bit more.
Yeah, he's an underdog because he's a villain, I think, and no one wants him to succeed. It doesn't mean you're an underdog. It just means that no one likes you.
Yeah.
And well, I know all about that.
But, we both do, Nicholas. It's the reason why we do a podcast for validation. I give this... I don't give it as... I don't dismiss it as quickly as you do because I think that there's always something to be read into when it comes to comments being made, whoever it might be. I think, like I said, that there's some disharmony, whatever you want to call it, in the locker room right now, whether that's between Steph, KD, KD and Draymond, or KD and Steve Kerr. I think there's something happening there, but at the same time, they're so ridiculously good and talented that they can beat anyone above that. I think next year, though, when teams get even better, when, you know, the Celtics get their two stars back, the Sixers have another year of gelling. You know, if LeBron goes to Houston, you know, who knows? Then I think that's going to be even more challenging for this Warriors team to do what they did this year and win the championship again. They're going to have to take, you know, they don't have to be 73-9 Warriors, despite the fact that they lost the championship that year. They don't have to be last year's Warriors where they, you know, basically just lost one game across the entire playoffs to win the championship. But they're going to have to be better than they are this year. And, you know, Kevin Durant obviously is more than likely going to be there, you know, 90 to 95% chance. But, you know, I wouldn't discount the fact that there's something happening there. And obviously with the salary cap situation as well, with Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant's obviously doing the similar thing to what LeBron does, the 1 or 2 year and then opt in and opt out to get his, you know, market value and sort of assess the situation. Now, LeBron obviously does it in a case of going, okay, I want to be where I am, best to get a championship. KD's already in that situation. Klay is deserving of a max or near a max. So there's certainly some little side notes, side stories to go with this sort of Kevin Durant rumor, so to speak.
And,
fair enough, Nick. I don't see it.
I mean, maybe I've got my blinders on, but I can't see it. You imagine the shock? I would be personally just I would be gobsmacked. I love that word.
Flabbergasted.
Ooh.
Gobsmacked.
Ooh. Ooh. Hold on. Let me go. Synonyms of flabbergasted. You want to do the spiel, mate, while I look this up?
I shall. I feel like the episode is going to be called Gobsmacked / Flabbergasted, if possible. Spiel time. Guys, we may be back with you on Sunday, Monday, depending on where you are in the world. Depending on how the news and the rumblings are in the NBA, if the Colangelo news happens, if Ben Simmons breaks up with Kendall, we're doing an emergency pod. Don't you worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
If the Cavs win a couple of games, we shall see how we go. Nick, give me some synonyms before spiel.
Mate,
what do you
got for me? Befuddled? Oh, that's a good one.
Befuddled, yeah.
is a good one. Dumbfounded, flustered.
Dumbfounded, I love dumbfounded.
In a
flustered,
dither?
Yeah, flustered's underrated.
In a dither?
Wait, what?
I don't know that one.
Okay.
Muddled, mystified, perplexed.
Thunderstruck. I need you, like, send me the...
Thunderstruck. That's nice. That's the KD move.
KD style.
Stupefied.
KD style. Stupefied's good. Stupefied's underrated.
Yeah, there's a good one.
Underutilized. I definitely need to use some of those words in my upcoming articles. So I've got, personally, guys, I've got a heap of content on OTGBasketball.com.
Bamboozled.
Jack Manuel there. Bamboozled.
Nice.
Nick, are you going to... I'm going to be interested to hear what you actually call this episode, whether it's
there are many. There are many possibilities.
But anyway, that just about does it for another week, guys. We'd like to thank you all for tuning into Just Ball Things. You can catch us every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. As always, catch us on Apple Podcasts, Blog Talk Radio, or wherever it is you listen to your podcast. Do us a solid, leave us a rating and review. Helps us out heaps. Make sure you subscribe. It does us a world of good. You can contact us as at the J-Man JBT is me, at JBT Nick is Nicholas. You should also hit up at OTG Basketball on Twitter, where you can read some awesome articles written by me and also heaps of other fire content. You know, there's heaps of pods coming out. I'm appearing on a few, the Brooklyn Buzz, the NBA Outlet. We have so much finals content coming for you. It's absolutely crazy. We've got Facebook, so it's just Ball Things. You'll find us there. I'll make sure I post my articles there. I'll be sharing a heap of videos, highlights and such. And as well, on email, we're still waiting for that third one. You know, it could happen in the finals. Who knows when it'll happen. Hit us up where we'll read emails here on the show, jbtpodcast@gmail.com. Remember, it's you guys who make the show great, and we appreciate every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep balling, superstars. Come on!